One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora. A novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal, the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
Baby, do you want to go higher? Baby, you're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos. I've got Diamond Gray, Nevi Mendoza, and Mo Brosette all in studio with me today.
Yes.
Lexi's here with the baby, but she's not on the mic. So I got little Jackson in here. He's getting so
Jackson,
big. He's
incredible. I just met him for the first time.
He's a chunk.
He was staring me down.
I remember when we were at an Airbnb in Austin at the Paleo FX when she told me in the kitchen at the Airbnb, I'm pregnant. And I was like, oh my God. She's like, nobody else knows. I'm like, oh my God. What?
Yeah. And the first thing Bernadette does.
Just tell everybody.
Hey, Marie, guess what?
No, I didn't. Not like that. She came in the room and Marie was like, what's wrong? Look at that look in your face. And then Lexi told her. Lexi looked at me like gave me the go ahead, and I said, Lexi just told me she's pregnant.
Yeah, that's kind of like when you tell somebody something or you say, hey, I hope you don't mind me asking. You're like, what am I supposed to say?
Yeah.
I hope
yeah.
you don't mind if I bring this up, but.
Fine, yeah, what are you supposed to say?
It's too late at that point.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, you know, a couple of things that I want to get out there today. It's Monday here in Dallas, and the weather is getting, it's going to be brutal in just a couple of hours. It's supposed to be a low of 27 tonight, really cold, and I want to remind everyone to bring their little pets in from outdoors and make sure that they're warm like you. You know, little Charlie's outside right now, but he's got a nice winter coat on. I'm going to get him in a couple of hours, so he'll be fine. Yeah, but the temperature, it's supposed to be really, really cold, and
it's
so
windy outside.
And it's
right
going to be, and it is
so windy.
Yeah, and up, they say up to 40 mile an hour gust, and we don't typically get that cool of weather here in Dallas this early. Mm-mm. So please take care of your pets and bring them in and make sure they're warm. If you can't, you know, put lots of blankets out or maybe even hay to give them some comfort. And I also wanted to talk about the driving here in Dallas. Okay,
whoa.
We've got number three. You know, Baton Rouge was first. Did
really?
You know that? Yeah, you're from Louisiana.
But first for what?
For the worst drivers in the country.
Not surprising.
What's up in Baton Rouge?
I don't feel comfortable talking about that on air.
Okay. Well, Dallas got number three, and I have to say, I recently was almost T-boned a couple of weeks ago, and had they hit me, had I not been watching, I probably would have like seriously injured or killed me. But I see so many people running red lights now so blatantly with no regard. I'm like, what the heck is going on?
Because they're on their phones all the time. Look.
I just think they don't care.
All the time.
It's every man for himself, and it's terrible. We need to change that. You know, and the same in Baton Rouge and Atlanta and all these. There was a place. Where else was it? There was
Savannah, Georgia. Was
Savannah, Georgia. All these places in the South. What's up with the South?
There's no telling.
I don't know.
They're just not paying attention.
Crazy
too
drivers
much
with
social
their,
media.
Never mind.
Well, and so yeah. Those are the only two things I wanted to get out. And I have a very special guest on the line. It is Sally Fallon Morrell, and she is the founding president of the Weston A. Price Foundation, author of many books, including the best-selling cookbook Nourishing Traditions, and the number one spokesperson for returning nutrient-dense food to America's tables. I'm so honored to have her on the show this morning. Sally, welcome to One Life Radio.
Thank you for having me. And yes, the Weston A. Price Foundation is coming to town.
I know. I can't wait. I'm going to be there all 3 days.
Oh, good,
I'm going to be there every chance I get. So tell our listeners all about it.
Well, the Weston A. Price Foundation is a nutrition education organization. We have no ties with the government or the food industry, so we can really give you accurate information on nutrition.
I love it.
And our yearly conference this year is in Allen, Texas. It starts on the 15th, from the 15th to the 17th. And you can get all the information about it at wisetraditions.org. If you want to register in advance, we'd love that. But you can also just walk into the conference.
Well, and how about tickets?
You can buy tickets at the door is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you can buy tickets at the door. So what about the Wise Traditions Diet Seminar? As you said, that will be here on Saturday. Why did you pick Dallas this year?
We try to spread ourselves around and go to different parts of the country. And this lovely new hotel in Allen, Texas. One thing we always look for is a chef who's willing to do our kind of food,
nice.
To make food without any additives, to use our recipes, to use our methods and so forth, one of which is to make real broth so we can serve soup and delicious sauces.
Yum.
For the meats. And the chef at this hotel was thrilled to do this for us.
Nice. Well, I know that Dr. Thomas Cowan, who's coming up here in a few minutes, who's been on the show before, is going to be one of the speakers. Who are some of the other speakers at the event?
Well, our key speaker is David Diamond, and he is going to be speaking on the fraud of the whole cholesterol and saturated fat business.
Wow.
And if you have a spouse that's been told you have to take a cholesterol-lowering drug and they won't listen to you, bring them to the conference so you can hear this from a PhD who's really researched this. And he's speaking at our banquet on Saturday night and then again long talk on cholesterol on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is so much fraud out there, and that's what I love about your conference. You're kind of pulling the curtain down on all of it, aren't you?
Well, we really try to. And one thing I like about this conference is there's something for everyone. So we have beginner talks on cooking, and we have a talk on reading labels and things like that. And then we have sort of intermediate talks, and then we have what we call focused or advanced talks, which really look at the latest information on vitamins and healing protocols and so forth.
Yeah, and there's so much to know. There really is. It is a jungle out there. I was in
We try to make it simple and understandable for people.
Well, yeah, I'm so anxious to meet everyone. I really am. I will be there all 3 days notes and just learning myself about so many things. And it's important. It's you know, I was training earlier with my trainer, Tina Burnett. We were just talking, you know, as we do in between breaks when I'm catching my breath. She was telling me the story because I was saying if I was to ever get cancer, there is no way I would ever, ever, ever do radiation or chemotherapy or any of that, knowing what I know now. And she told a story of a friend of her husband who was diagnosed with I don't know what type of cancer, but they basically gave him just a couple years to live. That was 20 years ago.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And he did alternative therapy.
Yes. He got on a plant-based diet. He cut out all alcohol and sugar and all these things. And so, you know, that's one of the things that you guys are going to discuss at the conference, isn't it? How to prevent cancer?
Yes, and the good news is Dr. Cowan, who's speaking on cancer, who is just a fabulous physician, he won't tell you have to be on a plant-based diet. You can have a wide range of foods, but yes, cutting out the sugar is a very good idea.
Yeah, no, it really is. Who was it? Do you remember, Aviana, that just a couple, it was just like last week, somebody, we read somewhere, which I kind of already knew because it's kind of general information for people in this type of business of nutrition and health and fitness, that the four doctors from Harvard, you know, that got paid $50,000 to basically lie about sugar over versus fat for heart disease.
Right, exactly. And you'll be hearing a lot about subjects like this weekend. I give my all-day seminar. I only do it once a year at this and it's always at this conference. And that's a great seminar for beginners. In fact, we have a special price. If you just want to come on Saturday and hear my seminar and have lunch, we have a special price for that.
Oh, I can't wait. I really look forward to meeting you. And so anything else you want to let our listeners know before we go to break?
Yeah, once again, it's wisetraditions.org. You can also listen in. We have, a lot of the talks are being filmed if you can't make it, but you will have a wonderful time. You'll meet really great, fun people there and like-minded people.
Mm-hmm. It'll be great. I'm looking forward to seeing everyone. So thank you so much for jumping on the air with us today, Sally. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, and we look forward to seeing you there.
All right. My pleasure.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Again, the website is wisetraditions.org. Check out all the information. Come and meet the team. We'll be there. We're going to go to break. We'll be back with Dr. Thomas Cowan. You're not going to want to miss it. He's an incredible doctor. He's going to be talking about cancer and the billion-dollar failure. Stay tuned, everyone. If you want to see heaven, brother, here's your chance. I've been sent to spread the message. God bless Texas. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos. I've got Mo Brossette in studio with me and Dr. Thomas Cowan on the line. He is a medical doctor and has studied and written about many subjects in medicine, including the heart, autoimmune disease, nutrition, anthroposophical medicine, and herbal medicine. He is the author of Human Heart, Cosmic Heart, and Vaccines, Autoimmunity, and the Changing Nature of Childhood Illness. He is also the principal author of The Fourfold Path to Healing and co-author of the Nourishing Traditions book of Baby and Child Care. Dr. Cowan has served as vice president of the Physicians Association for Anthroposophic Medicine and is the founding board member of the Weston A. Price Foundation. In 2016, he and his family launched Dr. Cowan's Garden, a company that makes and sells organic vegetable powders to help people diversify their vegetable consumption. He has three grown children and lives and practices medicine in San Francisco. His newest book, Cancer and the New Biology of Water, is fabulous. I have it right here with me. His website is humanheartcosmicheart.com. Always a pleasure. Great to have you back. How are you doing today, Dr. Cowan?
I'm good. How are you? And thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, my gosh. I just love your books. I was just telling Mo, you know, how incredible the three that I have read are so far. They're just incredible. And I just, you know, I love the way you write and what you're just an amazing doctor is all I can say. And I encourage everyone to get all of your books. Go to Amazon. I think that's where I got mine, but they're incredible books. And I love this one on cancer. I really do. Cancer and the New Biology of Water. And today our topic is cancer and the billion-dollar failure. So how did the war on cancer begin? Let's start with that.
The war on cancer began in 1971 when Nixon announced that we would spend whatever it takes over the next 10 years, he predicted, and that by the end of 10 years, cancer would be gone and it would be preventable and easily treatable. The reason they did that was because they said that the time they now knew the cause of cancer, which is basically oncogenes, and that's because they figured out what they said was the cause, that allowed them to predict that they could cure it in 10 years, and that started the war. 45 years later or so, cancer is worse than ever. The prognosis is probably almost as bad, if not as bad, and instead of about 1 in 6 people having it, it's now about 1 in 2.5.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So apparently Nixon was wrong.
Yeah, well, and you said that the years that have passed, but what about the dollars? How many billions of dollars have we dumped into this research?
It was hard for us to come up with an exact number. I thought it was in the 5 to 10 trillion.
Oh, my gosh.
My editor talked me down into the high hundreds of billions.
Wow.
Because it's really no way to know. We're talking about all the research and all the salaries and all the buildings and all the drugs and all the rest of it. It's probably if not the biggest project that human beings have ever engaged in. And, you know, as I pointed out, the Australian government in 2004 commissioned a study to look at the effectiveness of chemotherapy after that was about 33 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it was about 2.1% in the United States and 2.3% in Australia, which is basically nothing.
Wow. Well, you know, I was going to ask you, can you share the history of Ulrich Abel and the research that he did regarding chemotherapy and what were his findings? Because that's you kind of just alluded to it, but I think it's interesting, the history of everything that he did research and the time, the many, many years that he put into this.
Well, he came about in the early 90s, and he was a biostatistician in Germany. And he basically looked at stage 3 and 4 advanced cancers, or so-called epithelial, which is, you know, breast and prostate and pancreas and all the usual ones. And he tried to tease out what was the exact contribution of chemotherapy, which is obviously the main, you know, the main therapy for advanced cancer. How much did it really improve the outcomes? And after all the years of thousands of studies and looking at it, he said it was about 2.8 to 2.9%.
Yeah.
Which is not very much.
No. And I think one of the, and this is an article too, by the way, in the Wellbeing Journal, one of my favorite publications out there, Sugar and Cancer Risk. And we're talking about cancer and the billion-dollar failure with Thomas Cowan, MD, if you're just now joining us. The thing that astounded me the most, that never really clicked with me, you know, with all the stuff that I read about cancer, that the researchers often measure the success of chemotherapy by whether or not a tumor shrinks, and if so, by how much, not whether or not it prolongs the survival of the patient.
Right. There's a so-called surrogate markers. In other words, the real thing you want to know is, A, do people live long, and B, of course, do people live better? That's what patients want to know. That's what real human beings want to know. But often the studies, particularly newer drugs, they'll look at a tumor and they'll say, well, you have a 6-centimeter pancreatic tumor, and when we give you this drug, it shrinks to 2 centimeters, so that's a success. Never mind that the tumor then comes back and worse than ever, and the patient actually doesn't live longer or not very much, and actually feels worse during the whole time. So the whole thing was a failure, but they market it as a success.
Right. Well, and chemotherapy completely, like, just obliterates the immune system, does it not?
Yes. I mean, chemotherapy has a huge amount of negative consequences. But in particular, it selects for the most resistant and the hardiest cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get rid of the easy ones, like the low-hanging fruit. But then as soon as the cancer cells learn to resist the chemo, you're in worse trouble than ever.
Yeah, and this is also what you're speaking of. There's a good example of this in the anti-androgen therapy for prostate cancer, right?
Right.
Can we talk about that?
I mean, you know, the main so-called adjunctive, which means non-surgical or radiation approach to prostate cancer, is they block the testosterone stimulation under the theory that testosterone stimulates cancer growth in the prostate. So they do that, and then usually between 9 and 18 months, the prostate cancer cells learn to grow without testosterone. Mm-hmm. Some of them even seem to use testosterone as fuel for further growth. So essentially what you do is select for the most aggressive cancer cells by giving people anti-androgen therapy or anti-testosterone. So it does help in the first, you know, 6 to 18 months, and then it makes it worse.
Yeah, it's fascinating, actually, when you think about it. And as you said, all the money associated with this, I mean, I feel like everybody's involved, you know, the pharmaceutical companies, Wall Street, the FDA. I mean, certainly when this you know, these findings by Ulrich Abel was presented, and they attacked his character, did they not, to try to discredit him?
Yes. I mean, that's just sort of usual stuff that happens.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's talk about your book, because I think it's so fascinating. You talk about the failure of oncogene theory. Can we talk about that a little bit?
So the idea was that the problem with cancer is because, you know, all living things have DNA, which means they have chromosomes that are in the nucleus, and that chromosomes are divided into genes, which that's where the DNA is housed, and the DNA makes proteins, and the proteins run the life of the cell. So the oncogene theory was that one of these genes got a mutation, and the mutation created a protein that was not right, and that caused the cancer. The hope was that every case of prostate cancer had the same mutation, or that any particular person's prostate cancer, every cell had the same mutation. So that was the original promise and hope of the oncogene theory.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, what we found is, number one, everybody who has prostate cancer has a completely different set of mutations. That's number one. Number two is, if you look at a individual's prostate cancer, cell one has 6 mutations, cell two has 486, cell three has 3,000, et cetera. Every cell has different mutations. And so the whole thing is basically a complicated crapshoot, which nobody can understand, which is why 50 years later, almost none of the therapies practically have anything to do with oncogenes.
Mm-hmm.
They just kill cancer cells. Now, the irony of this whole thing is that along the way, and this is the most important thing in a way that people need to understand about this, along the way, people did studies where they took two cells, so two healthy cells, and you can actually transplant the nucleus of a cell into the cytoplasm of another cell. So a cell is basically a sac, a membrane-bound sac, that has a watery or cytoplasm, and then it has a nucleus where the DNA and the chromosomes are.
Mm-hmm.
So you take two healthy cells, you take the nucleus out of one and put it into the other, and the progeny are healthy. Then you take a cancer cell and a healthy cell, and you take the nucleus out of the cancer cell, so that's where the mutations are,
mm-hmm.
and you put that into a healthy cytoplasm, and the progeny are healthy. And then you do the opposite, and you take a healthy cell and a cancer cell. You take the healthy nucleus, or the nucleus from the healthy cell, and put it into the cancerous cytoplasm, and the progeny are cancer. So what that tells you, if you go back and do that again, it's the cytoplasm which is the source of the cancer. In other words, the nucleus, even a cancerous nucleus, if you put it into a healthy cytoplasm, the progeny cells are healthy.
Mm.
So it tells you that the source of the problem, the location of the problem, is not in the nucleus where the genes are. It's in the cytoplasm, and therefore you have to look in the cytoplasm. And the analogy that I wrote in the book, it's like you come upon a guy looking for something under the street light, and you go up and ask him, what are you looking for? And he says, I'm looking for my keys. And you say, you help him look for a minute, and then you say, well, where did you lose your keys? And he says, over there in the bushes. And you say, well, why are you looking here under the street light? And he says, because the light's better.
Yeah. Well, you know,
it turns out it doesn't matter if the light is better. If you lost your keys in the bushes, you've got to look in the bushes, even if there's thorns and whatever in the bushes. The problem is we've spent 50 years and hundreds of billions or trillions of dollars looking in the nucleus, and it's not to say there aren't changes in the nucleus, but the changes all have to do with the problem of the cytoplasm. And since we have no understanding, really, of what a cytoplasm is, that's why we can't find our keys.
Yeah. Well, that's a great analogy. It is. And, you know, you talk about anthroposophical medicine and herbal medicines. Can you explain to our audience what anthroposophical medicine is?
Well, it probably means different things to different people. But what it means to me is medicine that it was inspired by the work of Rudolf Steiner,
mm-hmm.
Who's the founder of biodynamics and Waldorf schools and anthroposophical medicine. And I, like other people, have been, you know, influenced by what he says. So, you know, when he said that the medicine or the source of the location for the cancer problem is in what he called the etheric body, which is what he means by that is the water body. That got me on the path for looking for at what is wrong with the water and how does the water, you know, what's the relation between the water and the cytoplasm?
Mm-hmm.
And that essentially became the whole book. And Cancer and the New Biology of Water is because if we don't understand water and we don't understand the cytoplasm, we're not going to get anywhere near understanding health and illness, particularly with regard to cancer.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. I mean, it's so important. And so many people walk around dehydrated or drink poor quality water, which do you believe, like I do, that that's kind of at the root of so many diseases?
That's probably not how I would put it.
Okay.
What I would say is that So we already know from a minute ago that the cytoplasm is the source of the problem of cancer. It turns out cytoplasm is basically structured water, or water that exists in a gel phase. Now, that probably takes some explaining too, because we're taught, amongst the many things that we're taught about life and science, we're taught that matter only exists in three phases: solid, liquid, and gas.
Mm-hmm.
We're told that 70% of the contents of the cell, i.e. the cytoplasm, is water. So even when I was a young doctor and working in the emergency room, so 70% of the cell is water. Water is either ice, water, or steam, so I knew it couldn't be ice and it couldn't be steam, so mm-hmm. It must be water that we're talking about. And so then I would see people who were shot or bayoneted or whatever, stabbed, and you would expect that they would have water squirting out of their body, because after all, 70% of them is water.
Right.
And I never once saw that happen. I saw blood, but never water.
Right.
So I started asking myself, first silently, where's the water? Or at least, since we know that 70% of the water, why doesn't it run like liquid? And it turns out that all of the the water inside our cell is in a gel stage, like Jell-O.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, what phase of water is Jell-O? Jell-O is 97% water, but you can shoot Jell-O or bayonet it, and it won't run or won't leak. And that's the same phase as our cells. And then it turns out that the entire charge of the cell, the electrical life of the cell, is based on the fact that the water is in this gel phase, which separates charges and creates essentially a halo of negative charges around the cell, which keeps cells apart. And if they lose the charge, then they clump together and form a tumor. So you can actually see down into the very details how unstructured water or dead water
actually
gives rise to the failure of a cell to integrate itself into the tissue. It therefore clumps together, goes its own way, and that's exactly what we call cancer, which means you can actually understand down to the molecular details how the cytoplasm defects cause cancer.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, you're just fascinating. All the knowledge that you have, I could speak with you for days and not be bored. You know, in your book, Dr. Cowan, you talk about the ketogenic diet in chapter 8, Dr. Thomas Seyfried is cancer as a metabolic disease. He's actually been on the show many, many years ago. We were one of the first in media talking about the ketogenic diet as a weapon to fight cancer. And so what are your thoughts about the ketogenic diet that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
So it's very interesting, because the ketogenic diet clearly has an effect, but I would contend that the effect is largely misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. So we know, and you know, PET scans prove this, because if you're an oncologist and you want to look for cancer, you give the patient a radioactive dose of glucose, and you see where it ends up. and where it ends up is the cancer cells. And the reason for that is because cancer cells eat the most glucose or sugar more than the other cells. So that allows us to find cancer. So the fact that cancer cells have a voracious appetite for sugar is well known and well proven. So the ketogenic diet says, okay, well, if cancer cells have to eat sugar in order to survive and grow, let's just not eat any sugar or any carbohydrates and we'll starve them, and then that'll solve the problem. It's a little simplistic, but that's basically the argument.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw people doing the ketogenic diet or even completely water fasting, what was so interesting about it is, you know, Siegfried, who I greatly admire his work, and he actually, you know, endorsed my book, he said you have to get the blood sugar into the 50s in order to have this, you know, effect on killing the cancer cell. In no case, even with people who just didn't eat anything, like water fasting or only fats or whatever, no carbohydrates, typically their blood sugar never dropped below 80.
Wow.
You could, and so the whole thing just didn't make any sense, because the body, you know, will get rid of your fat, it'll get rid of your protein, it'll even burn your organs before it lets the blood sugar drop into the 50s. And he actually pointed that out. So there's no way to drop your blood sugar that low with a ketogenic diet or even fasting.
Mm-hmm.
But yet it still works. So why is that? So then it was actually discovered that when you burn fats as fuel, you make something called deuterium-depleted water in your mitochondria. Deuterium-depleted water is hydrogen-rich water, and that creates a more perfect gel in the cytoplasm.
Wow.
So that's actually how it works. If you burn a simple molecule like glucose, you can end up, because deuterium water, which is, that's a whole long story, but it's kind of phony water or heavy water.
Right.
Toxic. So if you burn glucose, you make deuterium water, or at least partially. If you burn fats, you make deuterium-depleted water. The more you burn fats, the more you get rid of deuterium, the more your gels can become the perfect gels that they're meant to be, which then creates the charge around the cell, which then keeps the cells from clumping together, and that's how it works.
Wow. You know, I was going to, and by the way, you cover deuterium depleted water in chapter 9 in your book. It's an incredible book. I encourage everyone to get a copy of it. It's Cancer and the New Biology of Water by Dr. Thomas Cowan. One more question and then I'll let you go. And I'm so honored to be meeting you this weekend. I'm super excited. So do you think we'll ever win the war on cancer, Dr. Cowan?
That's a good question. You never win any wars.
Yeah. Boy, I love that answer.
What you do, though, is change the paradigm. And so the warmongers go away. Sometimes they have to die off. But basically, you change the paradigm. So we end up understanding all these various forces that degrade our cellular water. And we change those into forces that create more perfect gels. And then the war on cancer will become obsolete because we don't have any more people with cancer.
Yeah.
You know, I am speaking at the Weston Price Conference this weekend. I think you're going to go there.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And what day? You're speaking on Saturday, aren't you?
Saturday, yeah. So if you ask me whether I think we're going to do what it takes to change this paradigm, that I'm not sure about.
Well,
I hope so.
Well, I'm very excited to be at the conference, the Wise Traditions. You can go to wisetraditions.org and get all the information. You are a founding board member as well, Dr. Cowan, and it's going to be so great to meet you. And thanks for jumping on the air with us today. Your book is amazing. Thank you for writing it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, everyone, I hope you enjoyed that. We'll be right back with Mo Brosset. We're going to be talking about holiday mindfulness. It's a series that we're going to be doing, so stay tuned. The first one's up, coming right up. Bye. To see my world below.
Not about it.
Way too soon. Way too early.
No. No way, Jose.
Christmas does not start until after Thanksgiving.
I'm going to call you Mose. No way, Mose.
The first day it drops below 50 and everybody starts putting up Christmas decorations.
No, you know what? I had Christmas music on a couple of weeks ago. My daughter and I, Vinny does when she's home, but you know she's away at college. So Nia and I started, I don't know, we were listening to Christmas music in the middle of summer. Sometimes we'll just do that just to, you know. Because it makes you so happy.
Yeah.
Because people are nicer around the holidays. That's true.
Most people are.
Most people are. And then you're always going to have a Grinch or two. Mm-hmm. Or what's the other one? Scrooge.
Scrooge.
Ebenezer. You're going to have a few. There's people that are Ebenezers all year round. But, they'll get what's coming to them.
Good Lord.
They always do.
You're going to get it.
Before we talk about this, though, I've got Mopro set in studio. We're going to be talking about holiday mindfulness. We're doing a series on this, but I want to let everyone know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. You can also listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify, or you can go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. Many people do. We've even got people listening in Australia.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, good day.
Yeah.
Good
or
day.
New Zealand or something like that.
You say that every time.
Don't think there's an I in there.
I know. I think I add. I'd like to do that.
New Zealand.
I like to, you know, it's the Italian in me. It makes you more flamboyant
with
your pronunciation.
I didn't know you were Italian. That's funny.
You didn't?
No.
Oh my gosh. Liar. Anyway, a big shout out to our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior, Enviromedica, No Evil Foods, Crazy Water, Veg World Magazine, Paleo Magazine, The Wellbeing Journal, Thorn Research, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. And today is Meatless Monday.
And we're having a party this Thursday.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Thursday. Come and meet and greet all of us. We're going to be at V Eats down in Trinity Grove. Mm-hmm. It's on Golden, G-U-E-L-D-E-N Street. Golden. Mm-hmm. It's just on the other side of the bridge.
It is. From 6 to 9, we'll be there.
Yeah.
Drinks, apps, food. All the goodies.
And merch.
Merch.
Get a goodie bag.
Why do
us?
People do that? I remember the first time my daughter
and
said
music.
Merch. Yeah.
Merch.
Yeah. Why do we have to shorten everything up? Is that supposed to make you cooler?
Kentucky Fried Chicken did that. That's who started it.
With the
KFC. And then
KFC.
Sunny Delight did Sunny D. And
That's
what started it. Yeah. That's cool.
Well, you think that's it, the same thing, though? Because that's kind of like an acronym. It's not like just dropping half of a word.
Now you make a res instead of a reservation. Like, say the word.
Reservation. I will always use the whole word.
Thank you.
And nothing but
that's
the whole word.
That's why it works between us.
Right. Well, I love having you in studio. This guy always comes with a great positive attitude. He has been in the health and fitness industry for over 24 years, and he is currently the director of mindset and nutrition at the Adaptive Training Foundation. The Adaptive Training Foundation is a Dallas-based nonprofit that leads disabled military veterans. And by the way, happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there, men and women that have served our country. I always called my dad on Veterans Day to wish him a happy Veterans Day.
Excellent.
And he always appreciated it.
Yes.
So, it's a big day. I saw a guy jogging this morning with a flag, and that's what I did. And I was like, it must be Veterans Day. But it was super cool. Anyway, so Mo's a great guy, and, you know, he runs the Adaptive Training Foundation here in Dallas, and he leads disabled military veterans and civilians through a 9-week mental and physical training program called Redefine. And through his unique program, Mo helps these adaptive athletes overcome physical, emotional, and mental pain, fear, and self-doubt. He is a corporate speaker on fear and human potential, where he teaches companies and individuals how to achieve professional and personal goals, overcome limiting beliefs, and uses fear as your greatest tool for success. I love all of this.
Right? Me too.
I do. I really do. And your website is brosetteperformance.com and Instagram @ Brosette Performance Coaching. Okay, let's talk about this.
Absolutely. Well, hey, let me clear up there real quick.
Okay.
Diamond, I love the music. I am the dude that after the day Thanksgiving is like around 5 p.m., I have found every radio station in the Metroplex that plays Christmas music, and I program my radio to it.
I
bring them
out.
That's all
I'm
I do.
I'm
a
day
for
after
sure.
Thanksgiving girl, too. That's why I bought my tree.
But I love the holidays, and I wish we could keep that spirit all year long, don't
you? Yes, and we can.
We can? Okay, so let's talk about the mindset around family. And, you know, we all have that one family member, you know, mm-hmm. the one like Uncle Joe that drinks too much or whatever.
Right.
So what do you do with him? How do you make him happy during the holidays and less of a nuisance?
That's perfect the way you said that, because you're not going to be able to make him happy. But what you can do is what we talk about on here a lot is focus on yourself and your responses to that situation. So you know if it's Uncle Joe, in fact, right, you know he's going to push your buttons. He's going to try to push your buttons. So what you can do is prepare yourself for that and prepare your responses to it. Right, so that you understand that
I'm laughing because I thought you were making that noise, and it's the baby, it's Jackson.
Right.
I thought you
he agrees with me. Jackson's like, I hear you, bro. No, but and that's what you do. I mean, I have some of those family members, and a lot of times they do it just in jest. They don't see you but once a year, maybe twice
right.
a year. They don't know what to say, what to do. Sometimes it could be uncomfortable
how
for them.
Awkward.
I know that, ugh. But that's how people speak, and that's how people that's how people communicate. They think it's funny. We think it's offensive or whatever it may be. So go into it with a mindset that you control your responses, you control your emotions, and just think about giving them the benefit of the doubt. And before you even walk in the door, one thing that I teach people is think of it, just think like gratitude. Think of something nice about that person, something they do well, mm-hmm. something they do good for the world, and just give them that benefit, right? And if you do that, your reactions will be less.
Yeah. I love talking about this. I do, because it's so important, because the holidays are coming up like just in a matter of weeks. And
absolutely.
We're going to be mixing it up with family members and, mm-hmm. and people and friends. And it's important to have a deeper understanding and a good holiday mindfulness attitude, right?
Yes, yes. Start all your day with gratitude. Right. Start with a little grace and you're good to go.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk more about it with Mo Brossette. You can find him on Instagram at Brossette Performance Coaching. We'll be right back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. Hard not to sing, you
just,
guys.
I don't have the range, but know inside I'm just belting this.
Oh my gosh. I just have to hear it. I love this song. And that's truly how I feel too about Christmas.
Right?
I don't give a rat's behind. Actually, I do care about rat's behinds. But I don't care about materialistic things.
Right.
Never have, never will. And I love this song.
So great.
It is. Yeah. Because if you're not with the person that you love at Christmas, or your children or your family, Christmas
right.
kind of sucks without the people that you love, right?
Can, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, now I'm going to cry.
Don't do it. Don't
go
do
ahead.
It.
Go ahead.
You. Man, that was rough.
I got it. That was great. That was beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. I'm in studio here. We're in studio here with Mo Brossette. He has been in the health and fitness industry for over 24 years, and he is currently the director of mindset and nutrition at the Adaptive Training Foundation. You can find him at his website, brossetteperformance.com, or on Instagram at brossetteperformancecoaching. We're talking about holiday mindfulness. Okay, what do you want us to know? Give us your best stuff.
Well, it starts with what we talked about earlier. Be prepared for that family member. But also, in today's society, we have to split our time between families. There are a lot of families that are divorced, that are split up. And Alex and I did a talk last week at a company about this specific thing. We
really?
Just asked them, like, hey, what are some of the topics that you guys want us to know about? How you can reframe your thought process and your language around the holidays? And overwhelmingly, it was splitting time between families. So my advice to you is, number one, if you have that family that they take more of your energy, go see them first
mm-hmm.
and end the day with the people that you love the most.
Oh, wow. That's
number
a great
one.
Idea.
But number two, it's the have to versus get to. You don't have to do anything. You get to go see two separate groups of individuals that love you. Yes, it may be on other sides of the town if it's in the same town, but you get to do that. That is a privilege. So when you go, spend the time with them and just let them know ahead of time, hey guys, look, I can only be here for X amount of time, but I really want to make the best of it. I love you guys. And we're going to have a great time, and leave it at that. You know, no sorries, no, I wish I coulds, none of that. Spend the time with them productively and lovingly. And if your family lives out of town, so if it's, you know, spending it with mom's side of the family and dad's side of the family is in another state or town,
mm-hmm.
you can FaceTime them. right? That's something you can do. You can, before you go, or you can step outside and just shoot them a message and give them a call. Say, hey, just want to let you know that I love you. I wish I could be there, but you know, I'll come see you on Christmas or next year. We're going to have a great time and we'll make plans for it. Yes.
In between the two holidays.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that, what about mindset around eating? Because so many people, you know, oh my gosh, they gain weight, they fall off the wagon. It can be really difficult around the holidays.
That was one of my biggest pet peeves as a personal trainer, is when people would come back the day after Thanksgiving bragging about how they didn't eat any dressing. I only ate a little bit of dessert. And I would be like, why? It's one day of the year. Enjoy it. One of the questions that we got last week at this company was like, I love mashed potatoes. It's my downfall. We were like, cool, eat it.
Oh, I love
so
mashed potatoes.
So enjoy it. But here's my tip with that. With mindfulness and mindful eating, be aware of what you eat, because there is a lot of food on the table. Mm-hmm. And we tend to just eat. And before you know it, you've taken down a plate and a half of food and you've barely chewed.
Yeah.
And that's what makes you tired. It's not the turkey. There's not that much tryptophan in it.
Yeah.
But it's the amount that you eat. So when you're eating, be mindful of it. Take a bite, put your fork or spoon down, put your hands down and chew. And be aware of what you're doing, what you're putting in your body.
Well, you know, I'm entertaining. My family is all coming from Houston for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm mostly plant-based.
Right.
Pretty much vegan. The only thing, I'll eat a couple of pasture-raised eggs or a little bit of Parmesan Reggiano or maybe a little bit of butter once in a while. But so I was thinking, how am I going to navigate through this? Because I don't want anybody else to not have their traditional Thanksgiving dinner. So, and I cannot put a turkey in my oven. It just can't happen.
Right.
And so I'm thinking I'm going to get some turkey from someplace else where somebody else has cooked it.
Absolutely.
And have it, and then I'll make all the sides.
Yeah, and there are plenty of places that do that. Yeah.
To compromise, because I don't, it's a time to get together with family, not judge what you're eating, what I'm eating, you know, and everybody can remain true to whatever it is that they love so
much. And if you're the person, if you are that healthy individual, just let it be for the day, right? It's not going to hurt you. And if someone asks you about it, it's usually genuinely out of curiosity. They're not judging you. They just don't understand. So remember, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. If there is no prey, there can be no predator. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is if someone says something to you and you don't react to it, then they're not going to give you that negative response.
Yeah, that's such good advice. Sometimes you just got to...
You just got to roll with the punches.
You got to roll with them.
It's a day, maybe two, right?
Yeah.
Just let it be and have fun with it. Eat what you want. Like in my family, I'm from Louisiana, right?
Oh, boy.
If it doesn't come from a can, it's not Thanksgiving. Like the cranberry sauce, I didn't really know that there were cranberries, what they were, until I was in my 20s. I thought all cranberries came in a can and had ridges. So enjoy
it. I got to tell you, though, the cranberry in the can is really good. But, you know, for those out there that maybe want to get gourmet, it's not difficult at all. You take a cup of water, a cup of sugar, a package of cranberries. You boil them until they boil. Mm-hmm. Turn it off. Put it in a pan. In a container. Let it cool. Then put it in your refrigerator. It's awesome. You can add a little, you know, bit of cinnamon or all these things. We'll talk about it. Do you like to cook?
I love to cook.
Okay. Well, we're going
to
talk more
cooking.
About it.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Look at you.
Let's all cook.
Mr. Jack of all trades Savant. Over there, Mo Brossette. Check him out on Instagram at Brossette Performance Coaching. All right, everyone, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and be. Come on. She forgot.